The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Whoa, that was... Talk about ending everything at exactly the right time. We just finished watching Venice, right?
But not for the first time.
And then, not for the first time, of course, but we just finished watching Venice and then dialed into the show and it said, your show will begin in 5 seconds.
That British lady's so nice.
She is very, very nice. I hope everybody can hear us. Can you hear us? Somebody in the chat room needs to let me know if you can hear me.
Hello.
So that I'm not making a complete fool out of myself. Apparently the show is on, but not streaming.
Welcome to the Big Purple Podcast, brought to you by Big Purple Dreams, here, the Otalia Fan Forum, and the Otalia YouTube channel.
Okay. And let's try this one more time. Again, can we explain that one more time? We just barely finished watching Venice.
Yes.
Not for the first time, seriously, not for clearly the second time, but yeah. And then get on here, and the very nice British lady says, your show will begin in 5 seconds.
Did we drop the gun?
Apparently we need a starter pistol or something.
Well,
we're doing. We got distracted by the pretty.
She counts down.
And we were watching Venice, and we got distracted because we're taking notes and we're trying to be as honest as possible as we critique Venice. And I'm going to say a little bit about that when we first get started here because, you know, we want people to come and listen to these shows and know that we're quite serious about wanting this to succeed, and not just because we love Crystal and Jessica or we were fans of Otalia or Guidelight or whatever. So we want to be as objective as is possible.
Yeah.
And that's funny because there's Chrissy, I love her to death. Objective? What's that? I don't know. We were not, I will say that we were not entirely objective during the run of Otalia on Guiding Light. I will be honest about that. I was not always objective. And looking back now, I regret that to some extent. And I know, Shad, you've heard me say that quite a bit, that I regret not being more objective when it came to Guiding Light.
Right. And
go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, yeah. Objective is a word.
Yes.
Jeff, it's the word of the day. Try to use it in a sentence. but no, I mean, I think to a level, you need to be objective, and then to certain levels and certain things that you do, you don't. And everybody makes the choice of when to and when not to be. And you made that choice with that, and, you know, would you change it? Maybe.
I think looking back, I would change it and be more objective and a little bit more critical of the writing team at Guiding Light and the production team at Guiding Light if I could do it all over again from the point of the wedding forward.
Yeah.
I think I would have been more critical and less trusting and a little bit more a little bit less, I shouldn't say a little bit more, a little bit more jaded and a little bit less pie in the sky, rosy glass.
Too pretty.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
seriously.
Yeah. I'm still wondering what happened to Jeffrey.
I know, right. Well,
but,
and it's always going to be like that. No, Nikki, it's not a repeat. We're all right here. What's wrong? Is everybody having a problem?
It's because you played the intro.
No, it says it's not. It's on, but it's not streaming. I don't know what the
deal
is.
Oh, no. What about, hold on. can you talk to the chat people or the tech people?
I don't know what's going on. I have no idea. Ask people.
Oh, no. Well, see, some of them are seniors.
So are some of you hearing me? Because I don't want you guys to just have. It says it's not streaming. I don't know if you can.
Okay.
Can are you hearing me or what is going on? Let me refresh my switchboard page because I don't know. Okay, now it says we're on.
Not people can hear and.
So can anyone hear my voice?
I love Blog Talk.
I love Blog Talk too.
I want to have millions of its babies.
Okay, so is Gina Dart in the chat room at all?
Please tell me she is. Where is she?
I hope that she is, because I will call her if I need to, because that is our special guest tonight. I want you guys to know that Gina Dart is going to be on the podcast with us tonight. Hopefully, if we can get her on the switchboard and she gives us a call, and sharing her impressions of Venice. I love some of the things that I've seen her say about the Italia storyline and Guiding Light, and I respect her as a writer more than you could possibly ever know.
Just between.
Yes. In between series.
I won't go into detail, but I just had to throw that in there.
So hopefully Gina can hear the sound of my voice. And
apparently people are like, woo!
The call-in number, Gina, if you're listening, is 646-200-0147. That is our guest call-in number. And, of course, anyone associated with On or even in the periphery of Venice is also welcome to call in and talk to us about the show. And I will watch the switchboard for Gina's number. So
what do you want to start with?
I think we should start with trying to be as honest about Venice as we could be while it is fresh in my mind and before I see Gina's on the switchboard now, it looks like.
Ooh.
Let me double check that. Yeah, she is. So anyway, let's get on here. I want to talk a bit about my initial impressions to Venice, and I know a lot of you did see. Yes, Raffi, you're listening to the right thing. I know some of you saw me tweet Kimmy to say that I would be fair and honest in my review. That is what I'm going to do. Yes, I agree with you that it is absolutely awesome that Venice is finally out there, and I say finally when it really didn't take them that long. Startlingly and stunningly so, they got it shot and edited and up very, very quickly.
A whole season, no less. Not just an episode.
But contrary to what a lot of you probably think I am going to say, as much as I love Crystal and Kimmy and Team Venice and everybody associated with it, Venice the series, episode one, is not perfect. There is no perfect web series. There is no perfect television show. Everything can improve. And what I want to say before we even get into this and start taking calls is that one of the things that is supposed to help all of this is feedback, honest feedback, especially new media and web original content.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the resources that network television has to run focus groups, to find out what is going on so that they can change anything. And Stranger's right. Jessica Lucia is pretty damn close to perfect.
Oh, my God, her hair.
Okay. And those dimples. But anyway.
Finger tingling.
But, yeah, I mean, web series don't have the resources that networks have. They can't get the feedback in focus groups. They can't do market research. They can't do a lot of that. So what they're depending on us on is us. They're depending on us to tell them as it goes along, and not just Venice, but all web series.
Yeah.
And I would hope that Purple people who are listening and anybody else who watches this stuff would realize that we cannot be myopic in our views of Venice or any other web series. We can't compare Venice to any other web series, nor can we compare other web series to this one. except to say very general things like this one is probably one of the most, if not the most, beautifully shot web series I've seen online.
Right. It would
it's
be
it's
like,
very pretty looking. But they're apples and oranges.
It's like comparing primetime television shows.
It's like comparing Lost to V. You can't really except say they're both sort of the same genre of television show.
Sci-fi fantasy, sort of.
So you can't, and I really am, I'm disappointed when I hear people say, well, I can, you know, acting like, or saying things to intimate that you can only watch one web series. That would be like saying you can only watch Glee and no other television show that's in prime time.
No comedy.
No
comedy.
Other so if you're going to watch Glee, you can't watch Modern Family or whatever. Just you
or
know.
No other show in its time slot.
Right. And especially when it comes to web media, I think we need for all of these shows to succeed, especially web soaps, for the love of God, with As the World Turns being canceled this week, I hope that that impresses upon all of you how important it is that these series continue and thrive and get better and better and better all of the time. It is very, very, very important. And when I say web soaps, I mean scripted drama on the web. Everything from Imaginary Bitches and the Guild to Venice, Gotham, Anyone But Me, which is fantastic, and tons of other, Empire, which is really, really good. There are lots of stuff, Wedlocked, but we're not here to talk about all of this. We're here to talk about Venice. But what I want to say before that is that, you know, getting back to that, is nothing is perfect. We can't expect it to be perfect. And we have to be able to look at it, I especially want to be able to look at it in an objective way and say that there are things that can be improved, because I want to see Kim and Crystal and Hope making a product that gets so much better every time we see it, that indeed it does change the genre and it does change what we can expect from a web series. But Venice can't do that. It can't change what we expect from a web series if we don't give them feedback, honest, constructive feedback that will help them give that to us. Okay, so with that in mind, I love the music.
Oh, yeah. It's whoever is behind that. And it's almost like a music video.
You know that's got to be Kimmy picking the music, right?
I hope so.
She's the music.
With all of the requests for songs for my iPod, there are iPhones that she makes out of all of us, I would hope so. When I see shows, especially show or promos or trailers or anything else, something that is supposed to be under 10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and music is involved, to me, I look at it as a music video.
Right.
What in the lyrics or the words, what is the poignancy of this song in this moment with no other dialogue, pretty on the screen?
Right, driving the gutter bus for a second to pick up on what Chad just said. Did you notice that their kiss started with the words, "I want you to taste me" in the song?
Do you want to
pick
that up?
Beyond that, if you didn't catch that, you might want to go back and check that out.
And I have to say it, because I told you I would say it, even though you were like, no. Okay, 35 seconds. I'm giving you the leeway of 5 seconds. Because you did see their clothes on the floor at 25 seconds, but you don't know it's them until 35 seconds in. Just saying.
We'll get to that clothes on the floor shot in a minute. I've watched far too many movies to let that one go.
Well, I'm just saying.
Okay. Just saying, I know you didn't get your kiss in the first 30 seconds. You practically had a stopwatch, whatever. while I thought the music was good, I thought it was too loud.
Yeah.
It was jarring, especially if you have your volume set at a specific
level
on your computer and you expect everything to kind of run across that volume, and then the music comes up and you're like, holy, and the headphones come off and people are going, what's wrong with you? Especially if, you know, the people in your house are playing Rock Band and you're exclaiming out in the middle of the room that, oh my Jesus, my eardrum.
Right.
It was a little... Wow, it was a little loud. I don't think it was too bad. And there's Gina in the chat room. Hang on, Gina, we're getting there. Yeah, I mean, I think the music was a little too loud. I like the first scene. I get what they were trying to do with the first scene. They were trying to give Italia fans, in my opinion, exactly what we wanted.
We got mouth-mauling.
We wanted the mouth mauling. We got it.
That was nice.
Chad said that we got exactly what we wanted. Okay, I believe Electric Queen may have gotten it. The music may not have been too loud. It may have been that the rest was too low.
Yeah.
I think what they can get from that as feedback from a lot of people, and I've seen a lot of people say it, is that they need to do some adjusting on their sound editing sound engineering. They just need to even that out a little bit.
Well, like you said, that part was dying. It was the crescendo into that moment where they're kissing and hello. And the music is like, whoa, hi, I have to rewind and go back because that's so terrible. But I have to rewind and go back because of that moment. And then from having and other points in it, you know, hearing certain sound effects because of the body mics or whatever.
I totally didn't catch that until we just watched it this time because I was actually trying to watch it. We were watching it this time with a very critical eye. I looked at Shad and I said, "Do you think they need a Foley artist? Because the sound, if you watch it again, especially the sound
outside
in the coffee shop, and I get that it was a windy day, but you have to take that kind of stuff into consideration."
Yeah,
right?
you can listen and everything else.
I actually looked at Shad and said, "What in the world was that sound?" And it was him folding the newspaper and putting the cup down.
Putting it on the table.
And it was really loud. Really, that's a nit. It's a tiny little nit of nitpick.
For our first episode?
Fantastic.
If that's it, as far as technical difficulties or issues that I can point out,
seriously,
though, that's awesome. So I'm not trying to nitpick or say, oh my God, they're doing it wrong. No, I'm just saying, from right out of the gate, for as much as we've waited for how short a period of time they've put this whole production together, those two points, that can be fixed in less than an episode.
Yeah. But then, and again, I think the sound problems is something that they're going to have to work on.
Mm-hmm.
It's no big deal. You can even that out in post-production. You can do that in editing. It's not that big a deal. And that they need to be aware of in the future.
Our fairy godmother
is giving me a text as we're talking. I have no idea what's going on. Let me just turn it off, shall we? But yeah, and I mean, Guiding Light had sound problems and all of that too. And I, you guys know, I could totally go off and be completely fangirl about this whole thing, but I don't want to do that. I want to be serious. Did I have an issue with them still having clothes on in bed? Yeah. Did Mrs. Desti and Shad? Not as much as I did.
No, I did, because it was the way that, and thank you, Crystal and Jessica, for that nice little crescendo rolling around. When you wake up, or not even, or are still going from where they were going from or coming from, and are that much of an embrace and making out like you're just eating each other's faces off, and then you're so close, and you say that was amazing and that was awesome, and it's just like...
No, but seriously, I get that. I get them having clothes on. I just think they needed one little spot of dialogue that said, you know, when Jessica or Annie was talking about whatever she was talking about with their issues, you know, what is this, and you know, what's up with you getting up in the middle of the night and getting dressed, or, you know, anything like that could have dealt with that. But you know, I get where people are coming from with that issue,
mm-hmm.
but I tend way too much information here to get up and put clothes on.
Yeah,
that's just me. I was impressed with the fact that, unlike most soap operas, Gina didn't have any makeup on.
That was nice.
They looked like they had just woken up.
Yes.
And Jessica was so adorable, really. Fangirl moment, y'all. Jessica was just the cutest little thing.
Woo! And okay, the moment where the moment where Crystal grabs her up underneath the chin and turns her head.
That was hot.
Display of cake. That's.
But seriously, and the other nitpicks that I have, we will get to after talking, I'm hoping, in a serious discussion with all of you, because I'm still going to write my review.
Yeah.
But I don't want anybody to think that I didn't love it. I mean, in comparison to a lot of other web series, if I was going to do that, I would say it was my favorite thing about it is that it was beautifully shot. It was pretty cool.
And it's kept interest enough to say, okay, why does he know her and is not approving of this? And what is this? What's this backstory that we just came into? What's the whole we just ran each other? I want to know what's really going on between these two and everything else. I liked that.
Yeah.
It pulled me in enough.
I would have liked a little bit more setup for that opening scene.
Yeah. For the how they.
I mean, I thought that whole conversation of "I can't believe you didn't tell me you were back in town" would have been a conversation they had at the club.
Yeah.
Unless they want us to believe that they had no conversation at all in the club and they just went, you know,
straight to the bed,
no conversation whatsoever. And I'm perfectly okay to go there.
That's okay.
But yeah, and I don't like Gina much.
Better much.
Which, you know what, I have to say, before I pick up Gina, Dark said, this is not you, Gina, I swear.
Gina S.
This is the first time I have ever watched Crystal Chappelle play a character I don't like.
She has some problems.
I thought,
did you really?
I don't like her.
See, and I related to Jessica's character.
How could she hurt that girl with those dimples? And really, how do you get out of bed, really?
No, but then...
I don't care if it is Lady Gaga on the phone.
No, but then it's the whole turning around and going to the shower and knowing she's going to follow. Are you coming?
Confident.
What? Totally related to Annie, but...
I'm not sure how they're going to make Gina likable. They're going to have to show. They're going to have to show some real humanity
hey.
To her.
82. I saw 82 there in a tank.
Okay, so now we're going to go to the phones to the infamous Gina Dart.
Woo!
New to Otalia has written some fantastic things on the board about them. Some really insightful things.
Oh yeah.
So I'm interested to see what she's going to say about Venice. Because I think she can be a little bit more objective in some ways than the rest of us can be. I think.
Well, I don't doubt it. I'm such a
although
fan
I must
girl
say,
right
Dad
now.
And I are such fangirls over Gina. Although I, you know, here we go. Gina, are you with us?
Yes, I'm right here.
Woo!
So can we fangirl a little bit with you for a sec?
Oh, if you'd like. Always good.
Shad is a fangirl. We were just discussing Seven and Janeway just the other night.
She has her, okay, you know, you have your own Wikipedia page of Just Between in the Star Trek universe wiki. Just so
I know. Isn't that amazing? I put that on and it just is like it's someone else. It's like, who are they talking about? It can't be me.
You know, there are just certain things about that series that I will never forget. And we're not going to go into it here,
no.
But it's always the same thing
we'll
with Kitsana, really. Yeah.
Well,
so you know that we're big fans of yours. And you know, Gina, you and I have actually known each other for a very long time and didn't know it.
I know. Alternative Quadrant, that is a long time.
That's going way back.
Back when, you know, all this stuff was just subtext. Where we just made it up.
Yeah. We just made it up as we went along. Of course, Janeway's in love with her. Look at the way she looked at her out of the corner of her eye.
Screw that.
That's what made Otalia so great. It was subtext and main text.
I know. And we can still pick it apart like subtext. That's what was so great about it.
Exactly.
So let me ask you. I think you could probably be, in some respects, a little bit more objective about Venice than a great portion of the fandom. So what did you think upon first viewing before you watched it again? Just like your first initial.
Well, I may be repeating a few things that you put up, but there is definitely a disconnect few seconds when you see them with clothes. I mean, the opening credits are gorgeous. I mean, it's blue and you know, classy, the credits, and then you open up and then you pan across this clothing that apparently has been discarded as they ripped it off each other in this frenzy of passion.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to the bed and it's like, oh my God, they have clothes on. where are they? Yellow Knife? How many layers do they need? Is this in California? How warm is it? You know? You know what? If they had opened up just in the bed with, you know, wearing what we shall call makeout clothes from now on, their best in knickers, then you just accept that. You just don't even flicker because that's the level of nakedness they're going with. But after you lead up with the clothes on the floor, you got to go with, artistically arranged sheets to imply they're naked beneath them. Because right then you're not paying attention. Like, the Italia fans are all stopped and they're, ooh, it's a kiss, they're kissing, look, look. They're not listening to the dialogue. That's later.
And everybody else is wondering, why aren't they naked?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I'm not listening to the dialogue because I'm looking at it going, why do they still have clothes on? How did she get her bra off underneath that vest?
Right, that was what I kept thinking of. Why is her bra on the floor and she's got a shirt on? Did she take her bra off? What is that?
It's a fade to black that we never saw. We never saw the fade after they fade to black, clothes on the floor, and come back up and they put tin cones back on because they're done.
Mm.
Yay.
Exactly. I mean, I get why they have clothes on because it's a far more complicated shot to, like,
right.
Getting out of bed, take the sheet with you, leave the sheet there so Jessica isn't exposed for the world to see, you know.
Oh, but see, now this whole other, the whole dragging the sheet with you thing works for me.
But there was a robot.
Yeah, it does. It's very sexy, but it's more complicated, takes more time, it's more choreographed, obviously. You know, they're doing this on the cheap, right?
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, that's why they're wearing clothes. I mean, you know, plus this is free to everyone. I'm sure they have to have some kind of rating thing.
Exactly. So beyond that, I mean, once you got over your disconnect there.
Yeah, yeah. Once I get over my disconnect, I really like the whole thing, the format. I like that. I wasn't sure I was going to like a web series. I mean, because it's so short, what can you say? But I like this because there's no wasted lines. There's no wasted glances. Everything has to mean something. If it doesn't mean something, they've wasted that moment. They've wasted those seconds. You know, I really enjoy that, and I think it's going to be very exciting, really.
I do,
too. I'm really
I do
looking
too.
Forward to it. You know, I think they told everything they needed to tell in those 6 minutes. They essentially, you know, got across. If you know nothing about Italia, you know nothing about, you know, you haven't read anything, you know nothing about these people, okay, you go in, you know, these two women are gay, they're lesbian, they're comfortable in their sexuality, they're comfortable with each other, but there's a little emotional disconnect there. You know, there's problems, it comes out. It's clearly more on Gina's side than it is on Annie's side. They get up, they meet her brother, you know, brother's been there, done this, seen this, very exasperated with it. You know, they get a lot of concepts over, you know, within that 6 minutes.
So let me ask you this, as a writer, did we get all of that? And this is me trying to be objective. So I am asking the questions, y'all. I am not answering this in either way, shape, or form. I'm simply asking a question, and I will ask it of multiple people. But Gina happens to be a writer that I admire. As a writer, did you see all of those things being conveyed to the audience in the writing or in the acting or both?
Oh, it's definitely a combination of both. A lot of it's subtle, and there's no question. There's a lot of that's nuanced. There's layers. For somebody who likes everything tied up in a nice red bow and presented to them, they're probably not going to like this series because I think this series is very much for the people that like tearing things apart and interpreting and just trying to figure out what's there. It kind of reminds me of Damages in a way, if anybody has watched that. Everything means something. It might not be clear right then, but it means something. And it doesn't insult the viewer's intelligence. It requires you to think. Some people don't like to think when they watch entertainment. So, you know.
True. Some of us just like mindless entertainment. I will admit to liking a little mindless entertainment myself every now and then. I think a lot of it, in my opinion, just because I don't think you can tell much about a writer's talent in 6 minutes.
Well, here's the thing.
You know what I mean? I think the setup was good as far as the overall feel and the overall amount that was conveyed through the audience. I would say it has to be both. Like you said, I think it has to come from both the writing and the acting, and I lean a little bit more towards the acting in this first one simply because I think Team Venice actually relied on the acting a lot more in this first one because they were in I think they were giving us something in this first one that they didn't necessarily have to. Does that make any sense?
I see what you're saying. But here's the
thing. No, I mean, like, we did not have to have this kissing scene, this bedroom scene in the very beginning of this. They could have told the story without it. I think they did that as much for the Italia fandom as they did for the story.
They could have, but they also get across very quickly what these two people mean to each other or can't mean to each other right now or might mean to each other. And
or have
really, it was a very effective way to do it. I mean, you could have had, like, you know, dialogue after dialogue explaining it.
Right.
They didn't tell us. They showed us, and that's always a win. And you know what? As a writer, I hate to admit this, but every writer knows this. Great acting can save mediocre writing. Great writing can never save mediocre acting.
Oh, yeah. You can have the best writer in the world, and if the acting is
not par.
I mean, let's call it what it is. If the acting is crap, the writing's not going to save you.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
writing is bad. Most of the acting is bad. Then you get Days of Our Lives. And just,
woo!
I love
for all my children.
So up a little bit, or All My Children, right, under Pratt.
Oh, no.
You get what you get. Bad writing and bad acting equals just bad.
Which is funny, because Nathan Gehring in this, for those few seconds, I was more impressed by what he didn't carry, you know, what he didn't say and how he carried himself is an acting-wise versus Dave. I'm like, why do I like a guy for 5 seconds? I hate him on Days. You can't ask
I think he's horrible on Days. But he was... I could tolerate him for those few minutes or however long he was on Venice. Now, clearly he didn't have much dialogue. I think that has to be and having been on a few sets of indie movies and television shows, this stuff has been shot. I think a lot of Galen Gehring's, the reason that he was so tolerable when he's not on Days is that they created a feeling, and kudos to Team Venice for this, on the set of making everyone comfortable and relaxed and able to maybe be or raise their game a little bit higher than perhaps they are on the set of a big budget soap.
Right.
If that
makes
sense.
Has he ever had a scene with Crystal Chappelle in Days, to your knowledge?
Yes, he has.
Have he?
Yeah, he had.
That's right, they did when they were, but he was unconscious.
But he woke up.
That's true.
How was he then? Because the reason I ask is I've tried to start watching Days. I hate to admit this, but I've tried to start watching Days of Our Lives. And I haven't watched an NBC soap since they canceled Another World. Oh, my God. And the thing is, you know, I'm sitting there and for the first time, I don't want to club Mia to death like a baby seal. And it's don't I want to do that? And it's because who's she in the scene with? Oh, that explains it.
Yeah.
Crystal Chappelle is what I would call an elite actress, like Eden Riegel. She not only goes there, does her job, and does it very well, she reaches out and makes everyone around her do her job better, do their job better. She's like the Marc Messier of actors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's elite acting. They just, everybody ups their game. And if they can't up their game, it's apparent.
And see, for me, I think a lot of this has to do with being in a scene with Crystal. I think it has to do with the feelings that they created on the set and how open and comfortable that set was. It may have to do with dialogue and writing that we have yet to see because we don't know how out of order they filmed this. If they indeed did film out of order, I assume they did.
That is a good point. Who knows how, and hopefully they really know their characters, too.
Oh. Right. So, I mean, it could be a lot of things. Do I think, and Jean, I think you will probably back me up in this when I say it. Do I think that we're able to say that this show is the savior of gay and lesbian media? No.
Well,
do I think
know.
That say what's that we can that say, mean? We don't know, but we don't know.
Yeah.
Really, could it be? Maybe. Maybe. We
you
have
know,
to see a
that's
lot.
The sad thing is the bar is so low. I mean, all I got to do is not do certain things and just kind of keep a semi-decent story going.
Right.
What
but I think, I mean, I think at this point, what we can say is it's really good. It has the potential to do a lot of things. It has the potential to change what people can expect from web series, from web-only content. We've yet to see what all the cast members are like, what their chemistry is like. We don't know.
Hmm.
Like you said, there's no way to know. Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that, that's the one thing I especially like about this, is that we don't know anything because there's such a small group of people creating this. They're not going to let information get out, or at least I hope not. You know, you don't know what's going to happen in an episode. Any soap, you know, I mean, I knew when Zach flipped over that couch that Bianca was going to be under it and she's going to be pregnant and he's going to be the father. It's just, you know, there's no gut punch moments anymore. With this, everybody at the same time is going to get a gut punch moment. You know, if assuming we're all watching it at the same time, like we were last Friday night, everybody's going to get that "oh my God" moment. This may save soaps. Forget gay and lesbian stuff. This may save soaps because I think spoilers have contributed to.
I think spoilers have contributed to a lot, but I think, and maybe it's my experience with. Maybe it's my experience with Italia that makes me say this, and especially with BPD and the reactions to a lot of it. I think we need to, at least in the beginning days of this, tone down the hyperbole a little bit. You know what I mean?
That's not what we do. Come on.
I know it's not what we do. But I'm trying, you know, I'm really trying to be objective. Trying to tone down the hyperbole and saying I don't want to put the pressure on Venice of saying you have to be the savior of soaps, you have to be the savior of gay and lesbian television media, which doesn't exist anyway because it's all crap.
And not just save it, but make up for
and
everything.
And not just
that's
say, why don't you please just give us a good story that is true and honest and real to the people that it chooses to represent, both gay and straight, and then we'll see where it comes down in. You know, the genre. Because
yeah,
I think
exactly.
That what happened with Italia is we put an awful lot of pressure on them, for good and for bad, the positive people and the negative people, of having Italia be everything, and then when it didn't, it got people came down on it hard.
Exactly. You know, that was, I watched it differently, I think, than most other people. And I just found it a very nice, romantic, sweet little story. I just enjoyed it tremendously. I didn't watch it with anticipation of what might happen or expectation or you know, I didn't, no anger, no outrage, no bitterness when it didn't go the way I wanted because I pretty much knew that nothing was going to happen all the way through it. As a result, I look back at that, and I just have nothing but positive feelings for that Otalia story. And I think I'm one of the few that can say that. There is just not one negative feeling for it because I didn't suffer. And I mean, everybody else suffered.
In some ways, I wish I would have watched it the way that you did, that I could have watched it and come into it after it was all over and knew everything that happened, all. And then been able to watch it. And I kept, you know, it's funny, and I'm sounding so disjointed right now. I kept saying during it, why don't we, since we know that it's ending, let's wait and watch it as a whole narrative, a full narrative piece that's just given to us at the end and just watch it all at once.
But you can't do that. You've already invested too much.
Exactly, but you can't do it.
Yeah,
and it's impossible to watch like that when you're in the midst of it.
Oh,
I think
I'm not,
better.
Yeah, I'm not invested in Otalia. I like it. I've enjoyed it tremendously. But, you know, I know suffering. I'm a Bianca Montgomery fan. God, I know suffering.
Hey, I was a BAM fan. I will admit, I'm a BAM fan from way back. I wasn't really active in the fandom, but
yeah.
I stopped watching Bianca Czar. That was the end of it for me, and I never went back.
Yeah. Well, I go back when Bianca's on it. But, you know, it's my question. Actually, no, this is Venice, but I do want to ask this question of you sometime down the road. Because it's Otalia. We really should get back to Venice, I guess.
No, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. My question is, I mean, as gay people on soaps, gay soap fans, we're used to being marginalized. I mean, we're used to having, like, a Chaste, Lena, Bianca hug, and the cutaway to Maria sliding her hand down the front of Eden's pants or Edmund's pants or whoever pants it was. You know, we're used to that. My question is, did Breeze, Bianca and Reese, up the outrage quotient even further? Because all of a sudden you're not just comparing Otalia to the straight stories where we're used to being marginalized. You're comparing Breeze story.
I think a lot of people compared it to Breeze, but not in story.
No, the story was horrible. Oh, my God, it was badly written.
Because, really, Brees was so badly written that they could have had a sex scene every day and I wouldn't have watched it.
Yeah, but
I tried to go back and watch it. It was just, it was horrible. They left too much to the audience to figure out in the beginning, and I don't even want to get into Brees.
Yeah, there's just so much horrible of the story. But finally, Bianca is granted freedom. I mean, you know, Tamara Braun has said in an interview that she went in there and, you know, played the role she expected to play it. And Eden is the one that's backing off and saying, wait a minute, you can't kiss me. You can't. They all have to be scripted. They all have to be approved. They all have to. That was the first time she was allowed to play the role the way it should be played.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, all of a sudden you're not, you've got a story. And it's like ABC looked over and said, to Guiding Light and said, hey, you want to do a gay story? Let's go bar a little higher and see what you do. And they did. They ran right into it and fell on their face.
But, you know, and I think, and bringing this back around, I think part of the problem with some reaction that I've seen in the fandom to that opening scene.
Yeah.
And we'll start taking some more calls here in a minute. Is because we're Otalia fans, and we were so intensely invested in Otalia. And I think that it made that opening scene a little hard for some people to watch and kind of divest themselves from Otalia and look at it as two brand new characters.
Yes.
What did you think about the use of slow motion? And I bring this up because I'm going to say something else about it in a second. In that, now we're talking, we're nitpicking now.
Mm-hmm.
We have to, because that's trying to be objective. So if you had to nitpick anything about the show, if you had to say something you want them to improve, what would it be overall?
Well, definitely. The question is, did it mean anything? Was there a purpose to it? I mean, did the writers or the producers, directors, did they intend for that to mean something, the slow motion, was it supposed to symbolize something? If it didn't, if it was just a slow motion shot, then they wasted however many seconds in time they couldn't afford to waste, really. That's the question. We don't know if it meant anything. You know, will we look back and say, that moment was their goodbye, that moment was their, you know, that moment meant they were together.
Like it had a purpose at that point. It was just a slow-mo.
Yeah, it doesn't have a purpose. And so, you know, you sit there and you're watching and you think, what are they doing?
It's like, what's that? And you know what? I'm going to say this.
No.
Can I just say, and I know some of you have said you like cardigans, but can I just say, can they please never, ever, ever put Gina in that sweater again?
Oh, my God, yes. Their clothing could have been better. That, I will say that. If I'm going to nitpick, you know, get them better clothes, you know.
I mean, a cardigan can be cute there. Do it. But
not that cardigan.
That was Mr. Rogers' Eve.
That was just wrong.
It was cuteness, but not for that. I didn't want the cute. I didn't want the bubbly. I wanted to, A, when it was going in slow motion, I first thought, oh, it's ending already. Holy crap. Because to me, it was a wind down of all of what we just got. And I was expecting credit roll, and then it just popped out of it. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe they were just showing a moment of this is the happiest moment that they've been since meeting up with each other again. Even if
maybe. I didn't think about that.
24 hours. This is the happiest moment that we will see them at since they first broke up or were last seen together. I don't know. I am confused just as much with the slow motion.
I was confused with the slow motion. I was confused. I didn't like the sweater. I know some of you like the sweater. I didn't like the sweater. Was the sweater on the floor?
I don't know. So I'll have to go back and look.
I think y'all should. Somebody should go rewatch it right now and tell me if Gina's hideous sweater was on the floor.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense either.
What did you think?
Still wearing the same clothes? Sorry.
I think she was still wearing the same clothes, which kind of bugged me.
Place was it?
I assumed it was Gina's place. Maybe it wasn't.
Maybe it was a hotel room.
I am actually torn over whether or not I thought the shot of the clothes on the floor was sexy or whether or not I had two thoughts in my brain when I saw that. I thought, oh, that's hot. Here it comes. They're in bed. And the other one was like, oh, for the love of God, we've seen this shot 1,000 times before.
That's the problem. We've seen this shot. It raises certain expectations.
Expectations.
Yeah. Take that shot out, and you don't have that expectation of you're still thrilled to see him in bed, but, you know, you don't have the disconnect moment.
You know what? I hadn't thought about that. If the clothes hadn't have been on the floor, I wouldn't have expected them to be naked, and I would have been pleasantly surprised that they were making out in bed.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's what, you know.
There would have been no disconnect over that conversation at all. I wouldn't have wondered why they were still dressed. I wouldn't have wondered why they were discussing that whole conversation that they probably should have had at the club. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Take that shot out or replace
right.
it with.
Seeing clothes, yeah, seeing the clothes on the floor.
A wine bottle, a couple glasses.
Nothing.
A wine bottle and a couple glasses also would have made a little bit more sense. But yeah, taking out that shot of the clothes, hot boots on the floor aside.
Yeah.
Would have made that a little bit easier to.
That's your typical setup in a movie.
Yes, exactly.
Or
yeah, so
pretty much either that or they're in the nighty and that's what's coming on last, and that's, you know, that's the last thing you see clothing wise before you see them stumbling about. That's what that shot set in most people's minds.
Now I'm not gonna say that I haven't watched Venice 1,000 times if I've watched it once. That's beside the point. I still love me some Crystal Chappelle, and I think that every little thing that we nitpick in this podcast can be fixed relatively easily, and that this show has more potential than any web series I have seen before to bring something new, other than, let's say, Anyone But Me, which I think is absolutely brilliant.
I was going to say, we snark because we love. You know,
yeah.
If you don't care about this thing, we're not even here. We're not even talking about it, let alone nitpicking it.
Well, I mean, really, do you think anybody who hasn't watched it a whole bunch of time could nitpick it at all? They would have said, well, I hated it or well, I loved it and just left it at that. The fact that we're nitpicking it and that we actually had to nitpick it and struggle to see the things that we didn't like or that could be fixed means that we care about it and we want to help them do better. I mean, for God's sakes, to go back to Italia again for a second before we take a phone call, if we would have told them how we thought in the beginning, maybe we wouldn't have gotten them writing her pregnancy in. Maybe Frank would have been written out of their story long before. He never was. Maybe he would have actually been written out. You know what I mean? So,
exactly.
Gina, you want to hang with us and be part of this as we take a few calls?
Sure, why not?
Okay. So we're going to go to the phone.
Oh, I do want to say, though, I am thankful there isn't a spoiler. There's not somebody somewhere posting about what's coming up.
On Venice?
On Venice.
No Venice spoilers, please. Just let us watch it.
Area
code 727, you are on the podcast. Let's talk about Venice. Are you there?
Yeah, it's Otalia Fan 87.
Hello, Otalia Fan 87. So what did you think of the first episode of Venice?
I thought it was good, and the opening of them showing the beach was pretty, but the clothes part was kind of strange. I mean, when I first saw it, I thought, ooh, okay, there's clothes on the floor, they're naked at the bed, but then when they showed them, you know, with the clothes on, I thought, oh, okay, so they just took out their clothes and put back on their clothes. And when I saw them having that conversation, I thought automatically that Gina is the one that's, you know, very, she's very protective of herself. You know, she's holding back on being in a committed relationship with Annie because of the fact that her father does not approve of her being a lesbian. So I thought that was pretty cool. And then I saw some similarities between Otalia and Venice that, you know, this time Annie's the one that's you know, committed into the relationship. But then, you know, Natalia on Guiding Light, she was the one that wasn't committed. So I thought that was pretty interesting that they did it backwards. Yeah, I mean, I can't wait to see what's going to be happening with the rest of the series.
Yeah, I think they did a really good job of showing Gina's emotional distance from Annie.
Yes.
I think that was very, very obvious, and I think Crystal played that brilliantly, which we've come to expect from her.
Yes, maybe it's mean, but I kind of like Jessica having a dirty mouth.
Yeah, I love. There were some laugh out. There were some lines. I wouldn't say laugh out loud because that just makes us sound like loons. But there were a couple of lines there. When I mean we chuckled out loud,
yeah.
And I like that. I like those lines that just kind of make me snort with a little bit of inner laughter. You know, like when she said, "I forgot what a smartass you are," or whatever it was that she said.
I forgot that you said smartass, and then the other one, which is, oh yes, and I can see through all of your bullshit.
Yeah.
But with that, it's a nice juxtaposition that they have their own, they are their own characters. This is not an Otalia repeat. This isn't, hey, this is Olivia 2.0 with a different job. This is Natalia 2.0 with a different, this is, they're two separate characters. And they
clearly
portrayed that beautifully.
Yes. I absolutely loved how Crystal showed the emotional distance and how Jessica immediately showed how much she hates that.
Yeah.
How it just irritates her to no end that Gina is as distant. And clearly, what I got from this is that Gina has always been distant with her.
She just goes away. She's like, okay, and I'm done. It was fun. This is what she even says. And that's the bye. Work now.
That was one of the things I liked about it the most. That and the fact that they're so obviously not Otalia.
Yeah.
Because Annie is clearly a very emotionally strong character.
I just hope that later on she allows herself, Gina, to open herself up to be in a relationship with someone instead of being so closed off. You know, I just thought that was kind of weird that she just, I mean, it just made her seem kind of trampy that she just, you know, met up with Annie and they slept together and then poof, she just wanted to, you know, to just end it that way. You know, I didn't really like that about it, but...
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Gina's a very likable character right now at all.
She's not. But I can understand why she's so protective of herself, why she is afraid to get in a relationship with Annie, because she thinks that Annie might hurt her, kind of like her father did, not accepting her. You know, it's just, I think when you come out to someone that you care about, And they reject you, it affects your relationships with other people. And I think we've all can relate to you know having
but
that.
See, we don't
feeling.
Actually know yet if that's her issue.
What?
We don't actually know yet, though, if that's Gina's issue.
Oh well, that's what I picked up on, that might be her issue. That's what I was reading into it when I was watching it.
It's true. I mean, it could be. It could be.
Yeah.
It could just be that she's, you know, scared to death at the intensity of what she feels for Annie.
Yeah.
We can't, I can't really tell where she's, I mean, for me, I couldn't really tell where she was coming from, and I like that too.
Yeah. It makes you want to know more about them.
Because it makes me want to come back. It makes me want to see another episode.
And what they were, maybe it'll show us what they were before. Maybe we'll have a flashback or something along line. And
because, you know, I was questioning whether or not I'd come back and watch another episode.
Right. Yeah. But there are some people that are talking about how, you know, Annie is needy and this and that. And I was like, well, that it could be. She could be one of those people that she's needy and she's affectionate and she has to have and she has to connect and she has to love whoever she's with right then and there. Or it could be that based on whatever prior relationship that they had that we don't know about yet, Annie fell in love with her and Gina never did. Or Gina did and has yet to admit it because she's so afraid of that. Because that, what, that's it? That, you know, we don't know yet.
Yeah.
That's
isn't it wonderful not to know?
Yes. And I don't, like, no spoilers, please. If you're listening, Team Dennis, no spoilers. I just want to be hit upside the head with a brick. Please.
Yes. And Otalia fan, I hope that you're calling back in during the benefit podcast this weekend.
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. I look forward to talking to you this weekend about everything you've done with your mom.
I am too.
Okay, I will talk to you this weekend. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
I love the fact that everybody takes. Did we lose her? Gina?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm here. I was just going to say what you said about a flashback. What's so great, we don't know anything about Annie and Gina's relationship. I mean, we don't know. Excuse me. I hope that it was passionate and tempestuous and you know, out there. I mean, we don't know. We don't know how they broke up. We don't know how, you know, we know Gina couldn't commit. Did she sit Annie down and say, I'm sorry, I can't commit? Or did Annie come home and find Gina doing the pool girl on the kitchen table? I mean, we don't know.
See, I like the way you...
That's another way of saying, I can't commit, but it's a lot less polite.
Right.
It's very that you have to know what's going on really quickly.
Exactly.
No,
yeah, it's like...
Hey, go ahead.
It's like when Owen says, she's never stopped loving you, be careful with her. Does he mean, be careful with her, don't break her heart? Be careful with her, she'll break your heart again? Or be careful with her, she stuck you with a butter knife.
I mean, we don't know what he means. Clearly they have some history that he knows about.
But that's what
we don't know how passionate it is. I mean, you come away, I did. I came away from that episode not liking Gina, but respecting her because at least she's honest about her, you know, where she's at. I really liked Annie. But there's a little part of you that doesn't respect her that much yet.
Yeah.
She's a little passive-aggressive.
Well, she's a little passive-aggressive, and she also a little bit let Gina walk all over her. She let Gina basically say, hey, you're just here for a fun time, and I'm done, but I know you're going to follow me into the shower anyway.
And yet she's constantly asking, well, what is this? Are you going to tell me what this is? Or what? I'm like, okay, look, obviously, by whatever mention, you guys haven't seen a long time. And I get the whole... You may be so in love with this woman that you will do anything, even if that means being walked over, just to have the opportunity to get back together or be committed to each other or whatever it was, or rekindle things you never got before. But there's a time that comes where you just need to go, this is not going to work. Until they open up or do or come to some personal realization that, you know, this has to be a two-person thing. This can't just be fun for somebody and then an investment for another person. It's never going to work.
But see, she already told Gina she's never going to give up on her.
I know.
Game, set, and match, Gina wins.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
why they need somebody else to come in and mix it up, hence Nadia's character coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to take some more phone calls. So here we go, area code 506. Let's talk about Venice. Who's this?
Hi, Desi. It's Carrie.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Desi. Hi, Chad. Hi, Gina. Gina's
Hello.
Been a long time. So, I thought
what
Dennis
were you
was...
What did you think of the first episode?
It had me intrigued. It had me intrigued enough to want to come back for more and find out what was going on behind the scenes. Not the behind the scenes that we got once we got into the subscriptions, but the behind the scenes of what got them to the place where they are now. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there were certain obviously disconnects with the clothing and stuff like that, but for overall, I can kind of overlook that. Just because I want to see what's coming next.
Right.
It's interesting. It's some snappy dialogue there. I like the dynamic. I mean, it's kind of hard to describe. It's the relationship between Gina and Ani. You can see Gina's been really cold at times,
mm-hmm.
but I think she probably loves Ani more than she can actually think about committing to herself to at any given point. I mean, she's as committed as she could probably ever be, and that's probably because of her past. Not only with her past with Gina, but her past with her family as well, and other relationships. So
right.
I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes.
Me too. I'm forward to see where they're going to take this and where this is headed and what's going to be different about this, perhaps, than what we've seen before.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, when I first watched the beginning, it was a clear disconnect from Natalia. For me, I wasn't even thinking of Natalia and Olivia. I was completely thinking Gina and Ani. So while I would love to have done the Olivia and Natalia thing, my mind into that is that we're covering that in the Natalia virtual season. So I wasn't actually even considering that
right.
It was Gina and Ani were Olivia and Natalia. So that wasn't even in the game plan when I went into Venice, that it was completely separate characters. And Crystal and Jess did a fantastic job of doing that.
I'm glad that you think so. I think that they did a good job of separating from Natalia as well.
And I think the way things have been with the development of the series and seeing how it's come from a series just even before they finished with Guiding Light, to see the development of the series as it's come along, it's been an interesting progress. And to see where that goes with not only Venice, but with Gotham, with Imaginary Bitches and all that stuff, to see where that goes. I mean, Imaginary Bitches took a Webby last year. They got honors with the Emmys and stuff like that. So who knows what will happen this year this coming year with all the advent of new media, Reality Bites, the new one with Julia Barr.
Right, Julia Barr and Jill Larson are doing one together.
Yeah, and Linda Dano. As well.
Yep, and we are going to have next week a podcast all about new media and for the web original content, where we're going to talk about all of these different web series, and not only the web soaps like Gotham and Venice and Anyone But Me and all of
like
that,
stuff like
but
Imaginary Bitches and
stuff like the
Anyone But Me and.
Well, yeah, and then even specifically the one web series that I know of that has actually been, from what I understand, financially successful, which is The Guild.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
In their third season now, I believe,
mm-hmm.
with AT&T as one of their major sponsors and a distribution
Microsoft.
Deal with Microsoft.
That's pretty good for a web series.
Which is pretty good for a web series whose entire first season was financed by PayPal donations. So there you go. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be an interesting podcast, and I hope that you'll call back in next week when we're doing that.
I'm hoping to. When it's on Sundays, if it's late, I have to get ready for work. So
It'll probably be midweek next week like this. And thank you for calling in tonight. It was really nice to hear your voice again so long since New York.
Yeah, so long since New York. And I'm glad you liked the print.
Oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I'm going to take a picture of it and post it on Twitter too.
Yeah.
So enjoy the rest of your night. Thank you for calling in.
I will. I probably will actually get some sleep. I've been awake for about 23 hours.
Well, you go and get some sleep.
Yeah. Well, I'm also in the... I finished my Otalia story for the Femme/Flash Advent calendar, and along with one of Shay's images, and it's all set to go. So.
Excellent. Read that when it's up, and I will talk to you soon.
Okay, will do. Have a great night, everyone.
You know what really cracks me up? And Gina, this is probably going to make you laugh too. We have analyzed to death 6 minutes of web series content.
Oh,
and we could do this for 3 more hours, probably.
You know we could, because we are people who come from subtext.
Yes, exactly.
We are the Xena people. We are the Voyager people. We are the people, we are the Buffy people, who up
Buffy
until the fourth season of Buffy never had anything but subtext. I could
exactly.
I subtext to death about Law and Order SVU and CSI Miami, honey. I could just let it rip.
But see, what I love is that we've all seen, or at least I hope we all have, the transition of subtext from subtext into subtext, merging with main text.
Right.
And seeing that transition, how, because when Xena was around, it was all subtext.
All subtext.
We got that one.
Even looking back, y'all, Xena was all subtext, seriously.
Even
really?
The last episode, and they had that one moment. It's like, oh, look, she did drop water in her mouth. Shit, it's a plot point. It's not main text. Damn it.
Okay, let's get back to the phone, y'all.
Wait, no, going back to Venice, into seeing a web series where you have no affiliates, you have no major sponsors yet, it's not on a major network, it's produced and provided by the people that just want to do it.
Right.
For fans like us with,
Okay, here's another question I have before we move back to the phone. We all would love to see, because we're paying for Venice now, we would love to see this model become successful and for them to be able to, I guess, eventually drop the subscriptions and have enough sponsors or whatever to finance the show or see it come to cable or whatever it is. But will they, if they pick up sponsors, will the content change?
Exactly.
Is it possible that there will be restrictions on what they can do? And by that same token, if they stay subscription-only model from the get-go like this, does that hurt their ability to widen their fan base beyond those already invested fans? There's a question for you.
And do we start trying to get them to change the story?
And how much influence should we as fans have in this?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Are people going to feel like they have more of a say than they should have because they're paying? Because really,
people
we're just paying fans. That's all we are. Mm-hmm. We don't have, we can exert our influence by saying we don't like this and hope that they take our feedback and want to give us something that we do like. But we don't have a right to say, well, we're paying for it. You should be catering to us because no. Venice is supposed to be a series for everyone. This isn't like owning stock in it.
Buying a t-shirt from your favorite show.
I am of the opinion that there will be, and to what degree we don't know, a certain amount of hampering the ability to expand the fan base because of the subscription-only model. That's just me. Gina, what do you think?
Well, it's hard to say. Who's made money off the web? Porn. Porn's made money off, porn. They do it through subscription. You've got your fan base. People will buy it. I mean, do you buy HBO so you can see Dexter and True Blood and the shows you really want to see, or you don't? And they make their, True Blood doesn't get to everybody. Dexter doesn't get to everybody. I don't know how they're going to do it. I mean, everything is so new. If you go sponsors, do they want to change it? As a creator, you got to do it for yourself. And if other people like it, that's wonderful. But you can never let anyone tell you what. I mean, they've had their fill of that. People telling them how to write, how to act, what to do. This is their freedom. I can't see them ever giving that up. You couldn't. Right. That's why I still write fan fiction.
I can't see them wanting to give that up. And you point to a series like The Guild, and I'm going to get back to the phones here in just a second, but you point to a series like The Guild or Imaginary Bitches that have free and sold their DVDs and
but now
become
they're doing a movie.
In whatever ways. Mm-hmm. But see, the difference between Venice and Imaginary Bitches and The Guild is that there is a need with Venice for creative freedom for certain aspects of the story that there is not with Imaginary Bitches or The Guild or other series like this, because as much as we may not want to face this fact, having gay and lesbian characters still gives some sponsors the heebie-jeebies, and it will, whether it's on the web or on or wherever.
They don't want to
so, I mean, there and there's going to be intimate content. Now, I'm not saying sexual content. I mean intimate content, because I wouldn't have called that scene necessarily sexual. It was intimate.
Right.
It was hot.
Well, and it wasn't even really intimate.
No, but you know what I mean. Like, The Guild doesn't really have that problem, so they can get AT&T as a sponsor, or they can get a distribution deal with Microsoft. And at this point, I do think, when we say no one's made money off the web, I think if The Guild hasn't started to make money yet, they're on the brink of it. Because they have a distribution deal with Microsoft, because they have AT&T as a sponsor, and they're still selling their DVDs and their gear and all their other stuff. I think if there is a web series that has not that is starting to make money, it will be The Guild.
Mm.
And Chris is right. To talk about piracy is another thing. How do you combat piracy?
Because all you need is one person to have it and 20 other people that want it, and they, you know.
And again, I'm not going to go too much into that because I want to make that part of our new media pod. But I will say that I have been shocked at the way The Guild has been able to stop piracy for the third season, at least on YouTube.
Well, now they have Microsoft.
They have a distribution deal with Microsoft, which means the episodes are free on Xbox 360 and the Zune through Microsoft Marketplace. And at the end of the season, they'll be selling the DVDs and putting the content up for free on YouTube. Now, has there been piracy yet? Not that I can see. I'm sure maybe there has with torrents or whatever. I can see where piracy would be something you have to watch out for. And Venice especially. Now, I think they've probably got a good team of people watching out for it.
Yeah. But you're always going to – it doesn't – for movies, television,
web piracy
series,
is an issue no matter
you're
what.
Gonna, music, you're going to get it. You're going to get that one person that no matter what anybody says, does, please don't. If other people are paying for it, they will take it. And then we'll put it up where other people can have access to it. If it gets brought down in a week, awesome. They'll create a new account, put it back up.
Right.
You know, it's what happens. It's a thing of today that we all have to look at.
I'm more worried. I had no problem ponying up the $10 for Venice, and I would do it again. I want to see it. I'm going to buy some gift subscriptions for Christmas. However, my biggest concern as far as that model goes is just them being able to expand the fan base beyond those of us who are already invested or the gay and lesbian fan base. And I think they're going to have to expand beyond that if they want Venice as a product to be financially successful. Does that make any sense? I hope it does.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. Getting back to you're right, you don't want to talk about piracy, but it's like writing a book. Have you guys ever bought a book from a used bookstore? Have you ever borrowed a book from somebody else?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I go to the library.
No money in that case. I mean, it's just part. You just hope that whoever has bought the book and read it likes it so much that they'll buy the next book that you put out.
Right.
Part of doing business. You know, it may get to the you just accept piracy.
Yeah.
A small amount, and
or find a way to.
they have a large fan base that is going to jump all over any piracy. I mean, you can put it on YouTube, but you can also get YouTube to take it down really quickly.
But or you can learn to embrace the piracy, as some films and shows have done, and use that as your distribution model eventually.
Yeah.
You know, use that. We've got some interesting issues to discuss around Venice now. Besides how much we love it, I will say to you, have you bought your subscription yet?
Who, me? Yes, I paid for it right then, and then I paid for my friend in Toronto as a Christmas gift because I wanted somebody to yap about it the next morning.
So we're going to go back to the phones. We have a California area code, area code 323. Let's talk about Venice. Who's this? Hello? 323, are you there? Okay, 323 was not there. They're clearly just listening and don't want to speak, so I'm not going to cut them off the line. Let's go back to area code 612. You've been on the line for a long time. Let's talk about Venice. Who's this?
Hey, Dusty. It's Zach and Dave here.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. So what did you think of the first episode of Venice?
I just want to say that we watched Venice several times, and it's kind of our first foray into a, you know, watching a web series. So the first time we watched it, you know, it was like more of a, from an, you know, the Guiding Light Otalia perspective, you know, the first time we've seen, you know, the girls on screen since, you know, since September. And so, you know, that was kind of cool to see, you know, the nice, you know, homage they did there.
Right.
But then we went back and we watched it again from a critical eye as if, you know, we were just surfing and we just saw, you know, the web series without having any knowledge of the characters or the actors. And where we watched it there, the things, it, to me, with the web series, given the time constraint, you really got to have to be able to make sure you're getting the message and hooking the viewers in. And the part that really didn't sit very well was the way they brought Owen in at the end. I thought that was just, it should have been saved more for, you know, the second episode. I think the first episode should have focused more on the relationship of Gina and Annie, particularly...
Right.
What I would have loved to have seen, and, you know, because when Dave and I watched it, we were like, you know, how do we know that Owen was and Gina are siblings here? That was the part we, you know, it would have been nice to see in the dialogue saying, you know, this is, you know, like something to allude that, you know, hey, brother, bro, or hey, sis, or something to alert the viewer that these are siblings, not just some, you know, he could have been a friend, okay.
I mean, they could have done that again with a simple line, and correct me if I'm wrong, Gina, from a writer's perspective, I've written very little fan fiction, but with a simple line that said, you know, Annie, you remember my brother Owen, don't you?
Yeah.
Exactly. Unless, again, we don't know how long they were together, you know, then you're introducing them to somebody you know very well. So.
Right.
But he seemed to recognize her and by looking at her.
Yeah.
And the other part would have been, I would have liked to have seen the first setup, not so much with them in bed. I mean, eventually getting to that point, but would have been for their meetup at the grill. You know, I'm more intrigued by, you know, what is it, you know, that, because as Gina said to, you know, Owen, one thing led to another, and, you know, Annie woke up in my bed. You know, who seduced who here? Who is, you know, what's the pull? I mean, obviously those two can't get each other out of their system, but it would be nice to have seen a little flirty banter, because that's something that, you know, Crystal and Jessica did very well with on Otalia, but doing it something, you know, a little bit more differently there to kind of set up this, and then showing the scene of them waking up from the morning after, and then kind of giving more of that context of why Gina can't really commit, and, you know, why this relationship, you know, appears kind of toxic to both of them in a way that they can't really truly be over each other. You know what I'm saying? So then, and then you could have ended the episode where Annie just followed Gina into the shower, and then episode two could come in with them coming out to the rooftop and then having more of that dialogue with Owen. Because, you know, given that time constraint, you can't introduce too many concepts. You got to focus on maybe one, you know, dynamic or aspect so that, you know, the viewer can really understand what's going on. And so that first episode should have been just about Gina and Annie and not introducing any other people yet. So that kind of cements what is it about this relationship that they have, and, you know, how are we going to get invested to really kind of pull for them to be together.
Right.
So that's good.
And like Run Betty Run just said in the chat room, 6-minute arcs are a bitch.
Yeah.
And you have to depend on the actor's chemistry and their body language and stuff that isn't written in the script to convey. Did Crystal and Galen convey with their chemistry and their body language and the way they looked at each other that they were brother and sister? Yes. Was it a perfect setup? No, but I think it accomplished what it needed to accomplish, at least for me.
Okay.
But I can see where you're coming from. I mean, I could very easily have said, I needed to know, because it doesn't make any sense. I think for me, the fact that he recognized her when he saw her kind of did that. But again, I'm a past master at subtext. And maybe that's why. Maybe it's because I'm just looking for stuff that isn't there.
Yeah. Well, and her reaction, too, to him was just sort of like, oh, hi, I remember you. And moving on.
Yeah, and Annie had that moment with Owen where it was like, oh.
He used to pop my towel.
Yeah. It was a little awkward, and you have to either think, well, they either dated or that's somebody related to Gina, and if it's a guy, it must be her brother. But, yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of leap. There's some leaps in logic there that you have to take. But then again, like Gina pointed out earlier on, they're expecting us. I think Kim, as a writer, and I can't wait to get them on the podcast to ask her this myself.
Right.
But, yeah, I think Kim as a writer is expecting us to take those leaps and to go ahead and take those leaps and speculate and kind of come to those conclusions. And I think in the long run, if we all sit with that, we're going to say that in the end, we enjoy not being spoon-fed anything and being allowed to be the intelligent audience that we are and trusting the intelligence of the audience to figure out what these relationships actually are without having necessarily to be told. Are there going to be times where we wish we were told? Sure.
Well, it's like in that moment when you look at Annie and Owen, for me, in my head, the first thing that popped in there, and this is an odd leap, based on that whole prior you had the time that Gina and Annie had apart. In my head, and the way that they acted almost conveyed, ooh, maybe that's how Owen found out his sister was gay. He walked in on them. And so they had this sort of awkward sort of time.
But that's
you.
Because Shadon's saying.
I'm
moving
a little
on.
Crazy. It's a week. It is a spectacle.
What do you most look forward to coming back?
Oh, what do I look most forward to?
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, what I'm looking forward to is, first of all, I mean, I do like how we're going to see the relationships kind of forming here. I would have to say for props, I really like Galen Gehring as Owen. I think in terms of how, you know, he does have a bit of a resemblance, you know, in terms of resemblance to Crystal in a way, so you can see, you know, there's going to be kind of that sibling, you know, they look like siblings. I'm also looking forward to seeing more with the family, like with the introduction of Gaia with Hillary Smith, and really intrigued by Leslie Kay's character coming in and seeing how she's going to play with Gina based on the previews. So I think it's got a lot of promise.
Even if you look at the bio, if you read the bios, it's really looking forward to those. to the mm-hmm. characters.
Yeah. And just seeing how all the...
What the heck was that? Did you hear that kind of...
Did we lose someone?
Hello?
Hello, still here.
Huh? Is everybody still there?
I'm
Gina?
Here.
Okay, so we did lose somebody. That sucks.
Oh.
Well...
They were in the middle of a good point.
That was a good point. Call back, Doc and Dave. Because that was a really good point, and I wanted to hear the rest of it, and I heard, and then nothing.
I'm connecting their phone dying.
Either that or Blog Talk had a thing. You know how it happened.
I love you, Blog Talk.
I love Blog Talk, too. Okay, we got some calls to get through. There are some people. The lines are jammed. If you can't get through, please try and call back. I'm going to continue to take calls. We've got 34 minutes left.
Are you going to be doing this every week?
I'm going to try. Area code 703, you are on. Let's talk about Venice. Who's this?
Hey, it's Italia Fan DC.
Oh, long time no hear that voice, not since New York, and you haven't called into a pod in a while.
It's been a while, I know. I'm a busy girl. Job's keeping me busy. I barely have time to sleep.
Not too busy to watch Venice, though, I bet.
I did watch Venice. I watched it more than once.
I love how we're all like, I watched it more than once, but nobody's
okay,
popping
I watched it like every other day. How's that?
There we go.
So what did you think of it?
Okay, there are things I liked and things that I didn't like. We'll start with things I didn't like. I'd have to say the opening song wasn't, I don't think, a strong enough song for me. I think there were, you know, strategically placed words, and it some of the lyrics fit, but the song itself didn't really work for me.
Okay.
Because then you compare it to the end with the Venice Beach song, and I thought that was a really well produced song. So
that's
it was that's just like a nitpicky, you know, production quality kind of thing for me. As far as the show goes, the episode. People are going to, you know, jump my stuff for this when I say it, but I didn't feel a deep chemistry between Annie and Gina. I just did not feel it. And maybe it's because I'm used to the intensity that we had with Otalia, and granted, it took almost 2 years to get that, to get to that place, but... And this is only 6 minutes, so you know I realize we have to give a certain degree into that format, but I didn't feel that immediate chemistry between them, and so I was a little disappointed with that. It was kind of rushed for me.
You're going to have a lot of people coming down on you for that though, because a lot of people I've noticed online, a lot of people felt that. I didn't feel that they had the same chemistry as Otalia did. I feel their chemistry is completely different. I'm not sure yet. I don't think I've actually truthfully watched it enough to be able to say that I didn't feel it. But I understand completely what you're saying, and you certainly are not alone in feeling that.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think their chemistry is different. They did a really good job not recreating the Guiding Light characters, and that's exactly what needed to happen, because these are not the same characters. You know, definitely the role reversal with, you know, Annie being the more needy one, and Gina, you know, kind of being, you know, the one that's more closed off. But like I said, I didn't feel their chemistry yet. But it's only the first episode, and it was only 6 minutes, and I'm not even full minutes of the two characters. So I'm giving it a chance, but in that initial, you know, assessment, that's kind of where I stood with it. But overall, they did really well. I'm sorry?
What are the things that you really liked about it?
I thought that they got a good deal covered in such a short amount of time. I was really concerned that we were just going to see it and it just was going to be kind of all over the place. Did they do it perfectly? No. They're still figuring it out. This is new for everybody involved. But I think they did a good job of, you know, the characters were in a relationship. You know that she sits down to breakfast with her brother, and he knows the past. He knows what's going on. You know, they're not going to be an immediate couple, and that there's going to be kind of a shitstorm, you know, with them at some point, that something's going to happen. But I think overall, I mean, it looked beautiful. You know, I agree, you know, the sweater, the cardigan was kind of a misstep, but it was her comfy cardigan, you know. She was tired out. She just wanted to throw on something comfy and go grab breakfast before she heads off to the office. So
I can't fault her too much for that.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, I think they're headed in the right direction.
Yeah. We can all agree that it was beautifully shot, and kudos to Hope.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was absolutely beautiful to look at. Very, very pretty.
And the intro credits, which is funny, looking at those and some other soaps that are out there, it's like, oh, this is California. This is just how it's very nice.
It's very laid back. It's very Venice.
Yeah,
it really
you know where you are. You know where the characters are. You know, there's no confusion there. And there were certain things that were a little bit confusing, but other things, you know, they were spot on with. And so I think they're going in the right direction. And, you know, once they kind of get into a groove, we'll have a better idea of where everything's going. And this is brand new. We don't have spoilers, which I'm glad about. You know, we can speculate and we can, you know, think what we want. All we have are the brief bios on the website and whatever Team Venice wants to tease us with, but they're not going to tell us anything. They're not going to give us actual spoilers because nobody wants it. You know,
spoil 6 minutes.
Exactly.
You can't.
It would be a mistake to do it.
Yeah.
It would be an absolute mistake.
Definitely. See, I'm so glad you called in.
Well, I just wanted to say hi, since it's been a while.
It has been a while, and you made some very good points, and you had a list of things that you liked and didn't like, and you looked at it objectively, and that's all anybody can ask out of anyone.
Thank you. Can I say one thing, though, before I head off? I just wanted people to know that I had a chat with Jen for Venice, and she is giving away free stuff, Jen Foster, on Eclipse Magazine. So if you go over there, there's a contest, and you can win stuff that's personalized. She's going to burn the CD herself. She's going to throw some stuff together herself. She's going to sign it and personalize it, so it's not just getting something sent from the fan club. It's actually from her personally, from her hands, sent directly to you. So,
and you can find that link. It's been tweeted, and it's on the BPD. So you guys can find it out.
It's out there.
Thank you ever so much.
You're welcome. I'll talk to you girls later. Have a good night.
Let's take another call real quick, because I know we've got some people who have been on this line forever, and she's probably going to agree. And while I'm answering this, area code 613, you're next. Gina, you would agree that we don't need spoilers for this, right?
Oh, absolutely. I so miss those gut punch moments on soaps where somebody walks in on Friday afternoon and it's like, oh, my God, I thought he was dead, you know. I miss that so much.
Area code 613, let's talk about Venice. Who's this?
It's Dev.
Dev, you are on with Chad and I and with Gina Dart.
Woo! Okay, I got to go fangirl on Gina just for a second. Oh, my God, you are awesome. You are so awesome. Okay, sorry. Carry on. I have read, like, everything Gina's ever written multiple times. Just the
right, I have both
series.
Of her books on the bookshelf behind me. I know. For three of her books. Wait, there's three. Yeah.
You know, I'm blushing. You thought Jessica's ear was red in that opening scene. I'm just like, I'm red all over. Thank you.
All right, Dev. Before we talk about the Benefit podcast on Sunday, what did you think of the opening episode of Venice?
Well, you know, it took me about a half an hour to realize it was more than like 2.5 minutes long. Because I just kept pausing and repeating and pausing. It took me about 4 or 5 times before I realized they were actually speaking.
Girl, exactly what you mean, because Shad, I watched it before I let Shad and Mrs. Desi watch it. I started it, and they were both like, wait, what are you doing? Come into the room. And I actually couldn't get words out. I was like, just 30 seconds, 35 seconds. And then I had to, like, back up because I just went, I was expecting, you know, like, you know, just not that. Not that.
Well, you know, I mean, through the opening credits, my roommate and his girlfriend are sitting here, you know, we had Thai for dinner, and I'm just like, you know, every so often they'd say, how long? And I'd say, 3 hours, 22 minutes, you know. I mean, I had it counted down, even though Venice was down, you know. I knew exactly how much time was there. And it came on, and of course, they're still, like, chittering back and forth, right, when the credits are rolling, and I'm, like, ready to start throwing stuff at them. Shut up! Yeah, went a little crazy.
But overall, like after you actually got past that first 2.5 minutes, what did you think?
I liked it, and I'm for a couple of reasons. One was I didn't see a single hint of Otalia. I was very happy about that because I was very happy that Otalia got a happy ending, which never happens in soaps, and I didn't want that fucked with in any way. Excuse my language.
Exactly. Don't mess
and,
it up.
Yeah, just don't screw with the happy ending, okay? How often does it happen, you know? So just leave them alone. But I was also happy with the body language. I mean, there was a lot going on. They only had 6 minutes to play with, but they made every second count, you know? And, I mean, you start wondering, you know, at the kind of the looks between – it's been scrolling through the chat room here, the looks between Annie and Owen, like – there was something that went on there, whether it was, like, deep conversations about Gina's issues or, you know, something. There's, you know, they were looking at each other like, just don't ask. You know, what are you doing? You know, so I'm looking
at
more. Yeah, he
doesn't say that look like, what are you doing with my sister again? Are you nuts?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, are you smoking something? And her just, you know, like, the slight little eye roll, like, just get off my back, you know?
Yeah.
So, but we all know that, you know, Crystal
Chappelle
is...
Crystal, yeah, I mean, Crystal, because I think the reason, one of the main reasons why Venice has the potential to be what it has the potential to be, and what that is, we don't know,
mm-hmm.
is because of the people who are making it, Crystal Chappelle being principal among those.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the woman's got, like, her eyes are made of lesbian kryptonite. I swear to God. You're completely powerless to resist in any way.
What I will say is that, yeah, I mean, Gina?
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, you know how that scene in the grill went. I mean, poor Annie is just sitting there, and Gina walks in, and one look, and God,
zapped. Exactly.
She can't help herself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think
I know it was mentioned earlier that, you know, someone was kind of, you know, hoping that the scene would start there in the grill, you know, when they ran into each other. But it really impresses me that they're appealing to a higher level of intelligence than most television shows and most web series and most, you know, entertainment in general appeal to. And that they're letting us kind of, you know, they're letting us work it out in our heads. You know, they're assuming that we're intelligent and we're going to figure that out for ourselves and not, like you said, spoon-feeding us stuff because we don't really need it. We're intelligent people.
And again, that is something that, given the opportunity, I would compliment Kimmy on personally, is that I don't want to be spoon-fed a storyline.
Exactly.
I don't want to be spoon-fed a story at all. You don't need to, as we were just talking about that with Laurel K. Hamilton, that her most recent books, I'm a little sick of the constant setup. You don't. I've read all your other books. You don't need to tell me all this stuff again.
Right. Exactly.
It's a series, and I've read it. You know what I mean? And kudos to Gina for never spoon-feeding me anything. It's a series. I've read it. You know,
oh, well,
I know. Yeah,
I have to admit that that was actually something I had to learn, because I used to write the J7 stuff like with the assumption that people were going into it not having read the previous story.
Right.
And it took me a while to learn not to do that. So,
but that's okay.
Right.
It was
and
still really
it,
good.
It's very and it is so important not to spoon feed someone their storylines. And yes, I know a lot of soap opera fans, Days of Our Lives is a perfect example, like to be spoon-fed their storylines. I see it on AMC. I think it is a problem with the genre. That's something that the genre itself needs to change if they're going to survive the era of the networks trying to kill them off, is that you need to trust your viewers to be smart enough to figure out some of these things themselves. You don't need to tell them everything. You need to show them an awful lot, but you don't need to tell them everything. And sometimes what the things that writers need to realize the most, and time will tell if this is something that Kimmy has mastered or not, sometimes writers just need to not even write dialogue and just let your actors interpret the emotions of the scene and step back and let them work.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
And maybe that's...
Especially, I mean, actors with the caliber, you know, actors of the caliber of Crystal Chappelle. I mean, you've got someone who is so gifted. I mean, maybe it's a learned skill after so many months of having eye sex on Guiding Light. But she portrays emotions so well just with a look. And I think Kimmy knows that because they are such good friends. I mean, she knows that she doesn't really have to give Crystal a whole lot. She can just let Crystal have her head, and she will do her thing, and it will be good.
Now, whether or not some of these other actors are capable of doing that also remains to be seen.
Well, it does. It does, which is why I'm kind of, you know, I mean, I'm reserving judgment. I'm waiting to see the rest of the characters introduced and interact with each other and see what goes on. I mean, time will tell by the end of this season if I'm willing to pay for a season two. But yeah,
right,
I
and
do
I'm
have my subscription.
To back at the, you know, they have my subscription now. They will probably get my subscription for season two, but that's just because I'm invested. Now, but to stand back, to sit back and be objective and say, I'm going to do podcasts about this and I'm going to write about it in the blog, and to try and be objective, I would have to say episode one was a really good start. It has tremendous potential, and I'm going to sit back and watch the rest of the season and see where we go from here.
Absolutely, yeah. I do like the interactions that I've seen. I like that there's, you know, that Gina seems broken. And I want to see where that goes, because honestly, I'm getting the impression, just from my own sick mind maybe and the chats that have gone on, that I think when Annie hooks up with Lara, that Gina's going to have some serious jealousy issues.
I bet you Dev is hoping for a little jealous smackdown.
No, I heard earlier that people actually, they want to see Jessica do the slap of death on Crystal that Ally Sweeney has very much perfected in daytime now.
Mm-hmm. Ally Sweeney's pretty.
Yes.
Ally Sweeney's pretty. Ally
well,
Sweeney.
We're talking about ass smacking.
But
just
yes.
Can I just say for like 1 second? So awesome to see Crystal wearing the Venice panties in that like 1 second shot there before the bathroom.
I was waiting for somebody to say that.
Somebody pointed it out.
I don't
I'm
know.
Not sure.
I'm
not sure how I feel about panties as a marketing strategy, but I did think it was kind of cool that she was, that you know, product placement brought to you by Venice. The
and, yeah.
But
then I won't finish that.
Product placement, Venice the theory. You know, I mean, that was kind of, even if that's what she had on. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, I
so, Dev. Dev.
Mm-hmm.
We have 150 people in the chat room, and I don't know how many on the switchboard right now. Let's talk for a moment about Odd for a Cause.
Yes, let's.
The Benefit for Cancer podcast we are doing this Sunday to benefit the American Cancer Society in the name of Daytime Stars and Stripes and Jerry Verdorn, formerly of Guiding Light, now of One Life to Live. cancer survivor himself. You have donated something that we're going to be auctioning off. Do you want to tell everybody what that is while I have you on the phone?
Sure. I am donating a custom stitching. I hope everybody has seen my stitching. If you haven't, then, you know, you must. It's going to be approximately 8 by 10, and it's going to be the winner's choice. I will stitch whatever you want if you win the auction. Within reason, of course. You know, I mean, we'll talk about design. Because there's some things that just don't transfer well. It's just, that's the way it works. I do portraits, I do animals, I do pretty much anything. You know, I've been stitching for, God, 21 years. It's a long time I've been doing this. So, thank you.
Well, I am
really
glad that
you're being part of
it. I'm really happy that you're a part of it, that you've donated. You said it's going to be an 8x10 stitching,
mm-hmm.
winner's choice on the design, within reason. That you can do
mm-hmm.
anything, animals, and Hippie has just put your website
yep.
Link in. So it's in there so people can see. And before I let you go, I just want to say that we are going to be having that auction starting probably either tomorrow or Friday.
Okay.
And we will probably be ending the auction during the 4-hour marathon podcast on Sunday. So for those of you who don't know anything about it, you can get the links on the BPD under Pod for a Cause, or you can go to the Daytime Stars and Strikes website, and it's on their main page. And with that, Shay, I will thank you for calling.
Yes.
And I will talk to you
on
Sunday.
Yes, you will, and I will probably have a very awake little girl with me.
Outstanding.
All righty.
Outstanding. Okay, give the little goddess a kiss for me.
Will do. You guys take care. Bye, Gina.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Gina, you're so popular.
Oh, and it doesn't hurt that I've been posting that link to Novel Expectations in the window like every
no.
day.
Well, you know, I had to go back and reread the end of the Just Between series the other day.
Oh.
it's been a long time, and Voyager showing in you know, I don't know about all of you, but sometimes I want my subtext back. Is that terrible? I really just want to be able to pick it apart and see in it what I want to see in it and not have to necessarily see the vision of anybody else, but I just want to see what I see and go with it. But I guess that's what fan fiction is for, right?
Oh, exactly. You're right, because you're not getting what you want, so you write it so that you have what you're not, you know, they're not giving you. That's why, you know, I could never write Venice stuff. They're pretty much giving me what I want. You know, could never write Duffy stuff. They gave me what I wanted, you know.
So needless to say, Gina, you're looking forward to episode 2 and the rest of the season?
Oh, I can't wait. You know, it's on at midnight, my time, here in the Maritimes. And you know, I could have forced myself to stay up until midnight to watch this. And I got to say, it was such an experience to be on the board, the 2 hours leading up to it. That was
that not
so
the most fun time? 400 people ended up in the BPD live thread for the Venice episode, and I'm sure it's going to be that way again this Friday night, but that was a lot of fun. That was fun.
My biggest fear is that they won't have it ready. People get a little desperate when they couldn't get on to the Venice website.
I will say that not only is that my biggest fear, that it won't go up on time, but my biggest fear and my biggest gripe with Venice up to this point is the website.
Mm.
And that's my biggest criticism, and I have said it, I have tweeted it to Hope, and I have told them, if you know, listen, come Friday, now that we're all paying for this, this thing's got to work. This can't be going down on Friday, because I'm not going to be okay with that. And we're all going to start going into the DTs. You know, we're going to start twitching and bad things are going to happen. So please, 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 please. And I know Hope is working herself silly, and kudos to her. And I'm going to send her some Xanax. But please, please, please have that website up, running, stable, and ready on Friday at 8 o'clock Pacific.
Because otherwise, I'm going to have to come back later in the weekend. It's
Gina, can I thank you, please, 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 once again for calling in tonight? We are almost out of time. And I want to say thank you for calling in, and I hope that you will call in when we do our next Venice podcast next week.
I would love to. I really enjoyed this. Thank you.
Good. And I'd like you to actually call in, too, when we do the new media one so we can talk about some of the other shows and where the rise for a lot of those is headed.
Okay. Will do.
Okay. Thank you, Gina.
Thank you, Gina.
Okay. Thank you. Yep.
For you. Have a good night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I am such a fan of her. No. But I wasn't a giggly fangirl, so I'm good.
Well, you're good. I do have to say, though, that when I first read it, I ruined a printer. Because
I know, right? I printed out all of it.
Story and put in liner. I'm like, I would love to play with it. And then I bought a book.
Right?
Like, oh, well, there we go.
So, we got 9 minutes left. Woo. What I want to say, I want to talk about Pod for a Cause. If y'all are listening, please listen closely. Chad is going to put the link up in the chat room. The one of the auctions has already begun. It is donated to us by Robin Strasser through Daytime Stars and Stripes. It is a vintage Dr. Dorian Lord costume. The winner will have the opportunity to go to the New York studios of One Life to Live, meet Robin Strasser, get a photograph with her while she's wearing the costume, and then take the costume home. It is an amazing donation from Robin Strasser, who is very supportive, I might add, of the gay and lesbian community. And Chad is going to put the link up to that. She's going to put the link up to Daytime Stars and Stripes and all of the information about Pod for a Cause. We have already conducted video interviews with the following people: Jessica Lucia, Orla Cassidy, Zach Conroy, Jennifer Roselle, Jerry Verdorn, and Scott Evans, who plays Fish on One Life to Live. Those will be played and shown during Pod for a Cause. In addition to that, we have audio interviews with Wendy Medore, who is the coordinator of Daytime Stars and Stripes, as well as Liz Kiefer. And then we're going to be having some surprise live guests, as well as Carla Mosley, who played Christina on Guiding Light, who has agreed to call in to the podcast as well. All of this, 100% of the proceeds for this auction, all of it, will be going to the American Cancer Society in the name of Daytime Stars and Stripes. We are quite proud of this. We worked with them really, really well. The video interviews are really cute. I will warn you already, they were done in a bowling alley during an event, but it's hilarious. Jerry Verdorn was amazing. If we had gotten there a little bit earlier, and I keep kicking myself for this every day because, you know, I had to hang around at Crystal's luncheon until she actually left the city. And if I would have left there a little bit earlier, I would have been able to get interviews with Bree Williamson and Melissa Archer, Trevor St. John, and Cassie DePaiva, but they had all left by the time we got there. But I will say the Jessica Lucia interview . So I hope everybody can hear me. Supposedly, I'm reconnected now. I love you, Blog Talk. Is everybody still there? So anyway, what I will say is Jessica Lucia is hilarious. Her interview is amazing. She's funny. And the fact that it is on video makes it even better. Jennifer Roselle, who played the final Eleni that was on, is very, very funny and very personable. We've even got some video of the auctions that they did during Daytime Stars and Strikes. And it's also interesting to talk to hear from Wendy and Liz about how they initially got involved with Daytime Stars and Strikes. And most of it was because of Jerry Verdorn or because of Liz Kiefer. Both of them, their involvement is long-term.
Jerry's a survivor.
Yes.
Two times over.
So I will tell you, we've got some surprise guests who we're going to be calling into the pod. Should be really interesting. We've got donations not only from Dev and from Robin Strasser, but something special from the cast of One Life to Live. We have something from Mimi Torchin. Nutmeggers has come up with a book of her Italia drawings with some new unseen original artwork in it that is going to blow your mind. And I'm putting a little something together to you. So I think you're all going to be pretty pleased with what happens. It's going to be a marathon podcast.
4 hours.
Two back-to-back two-hour pods. We can talk about anything you want. We can talk about we've got people calling in who are survivors, people who have run marathons, people whose lives have been touched in the past or recently by cancer. I'm going to talk a little bit about my nephew, Gabriel, who just recently was diagnosed with leukemia and is now going through chemo at 5 years old. We're going to talk to people who want to share their memories of Kathy Wagner, who is one of the people who this podcast is dedicated to, because I'm sure she would have been a part of it had she been able. We'll talk about Venice. We'll talk about, you know, it's 4 hours, y'all. We'll be able to talk about whatever the hell we want.
On Sunday.
On Sunday, 2 p.m. Pacific for 4 hours. And I expect to hear a lot of your voices.
At 4 p.m.
Because, like the ad on the Daytime Stars and Strikes website says, we are fighting cancer one donation dollar at a time. And stranger, woman, you know I am not missing the Saints.
Woo!
Because my boys gave me a heart attack last week, and if they do it again, I don't know what is going to break, but something is going to break.
Oh, that's for you. Sorry.
Ooh, because I mean, overtime, really? Against the Redskins, really? Oh, wait, aren't they playing the Bucks this week?
Oh. But wait, well, no. I won't say it. That would be bad.
They've already played the Bucks once, really. I don't know if they're – it doesn't matter. The Saints are going into this undefeated, and I don't want to have another heart attack, guys. So this podcast is important. Everybody knows that. The cause is important. The holidays right now are an especially important time to do this, and our community is getting especially hit hard right now. I love Venice. This is the end of the podcast. Sari just offered to donate one of her photographic prints. Sari, DM me about that, and we will talk about it. You all know where I'm going to be on Friday night. I am going to be in the live play-by-play.
Yep.
On the BPD. Y'all know that. With 400 of my closest friends talking about Venice as we hit F5 5,000 times and continue to reload the site. Because I can't wait to see where Kimmy, Hope, and Crystal are going to take us next.
Yes, please.
And on that note, I will say thank you, Team Venice. Thank you, listeners, and good night.
Drama.
future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard-to-recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.